for the long-term gain.
Short-term pain be for long-term gain.
We're going to have some short-term pain with long-term gain.
Short-term pay for a long-term gain.
Some short-term pain, yes, but we've got some long-term gain. Short-term spike for a long-term gain.
Some short-term pain for American consumers.
But I don't think they would win that either. It's a really stupid thing. Trump says, I think the Iran war is very complete, pretty much, CBS reporter on X citing an interview.
All right, listen.
Be back.
I've taken 2 days off from clips because I've been addicted to Slay the Spire and I'm practicing for an Age of Empires show match. But enough stuff has happened in the world that it's dragged me back in. I have stuff to talk about. Now, it's Sunday night when I normally don't stream, and we're already seeing the Asian market. South Korea and Japan are triggering circuit breakers as they sink 8% plus. We're seeing huge panic in the Asian markets, which means likely by the time you see this clip or you're looking at the stock market on Monday, we're on a down day. We're on a red day. And even looking as a few days ago as a signal, the Dow just had its worst week since April for two reasons that I blacked out. Now, I know you guys are panicking because we're all worried about the Dow. Here in America, the only thing that matters is the Dow. We don't care about arresting pedophiles.
The Dow is over 50,000 right now. The S&P at almost 7,000.
All right. Now, there's two major reasons that we're seeing all this chaos and tumult. And I'm gonna go through both of them. But it may be a secret third reason, which is the Pam Bondi curse, because the moment she said this, the Dow went under 50,000 and has been in free fall. Okay, it's been absolute free fall from that moment. That was the peak. She top ticked it, actually. But the two actual reasons are pretty simple. Jobs and oil. Which one are you talking about first? All right, we're starting with jobs. Jobs! Okay, there's been a pattern when we cover jobs reports here in the United States. I've covered almost every one on this channel, and there's a pattern. First, the jobs report comes out. Let's use last month. Let's use January's as an example. The jobs report comes out, and everyone's like, holy shit, it's actually good? Wait a minute. They always say stronger than expected. They always say a surprise surge. The labor market's finally turning around. They always go, oh my God, we're hiring is the photo. Wait, things are looking up. Then the Department of Labor comes out because it's become politicized and says January job growth shattered expectations. The Trump economy is delivering for Americans. By the way, the Labor Department never used to talk like this. Supposed to be an apolitical. Anyway, they said, oh my God, everything's looking great. Then all the news media backs it up. Trump gets a spot of good news from delayed January jobs report. It smashes expectations. Payrolls grow by 130,000. And they always bury in there that, well, okay, this report is great, but it also includes revisions to the last report we said was great. And those are way less. And so every single time I have to make a video, usually like this. Like this is what I said last time. Layoffs regularly. So please do not believe the fucking headline here that everything's been, I mean, nobody believes it anymore. No one believes it. And especially because they said, we're not going to release the numbers, and they did release the numbers, and then there's something good. It all feels very massaged. But even the massage numbers show rising unemployment,
massaged or
only a few sectors of growth and overall deterioration. What? So this has been a theme over and over and over. And I say these key principles, just like, hey, the headline number might be good, but very likely it's getting revised down. And the few areas that are still growing are hospitality and healthcare. Everything else is shrinking. So even if you trust these numbers, they're not so good. And this number is going to keep ticking up. I say the unemployment number. That's what I've been saying. And this is not some miracle prediction because you see the orange here is when it's revised down and the blue here is when it's revised up. You'll notice it's just been nonstop downward revisions for like 3 years straight. Like if the roulette wheel is red every time and I say it's going to be red, it's not some miracle, dude. It's just that you're seeing over and over again, they keep revising it down. By the way, though, this spot right here is when I made slowly all at once. And we're seeing downward, downward, downward. Now look at the last times we've seen consistent downward revisions in a row. 2020, 2007, 2001. Three recessions. Three recessions were the last time we saw in a row downward, 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 downward revisions. But the important thing about this jobs report is that it bucks this trend. Instead of being a good headline number that later gets revised down, this one actually made me worry. This one actually kind of broke the system. This actually feels like holy shit because this one was bad right away. This one started bad. This one comes out and the headline number is 92,000 jobs down. Unexpected. Unexpected. All the headlines were like, this is so unexpected, so crazy. And what's even scarier is that, you know, at the very least, I thought, well, at least healthcare is growing. At least you can get a job on the new Scrubs reboot. If that show can't die, the healthcare industry is still a place where you can get jobs. However, even that finally cracked. Healthcare jobs have carried the U.S. labor market for more than a year. However, in this one, healthcare and education jobs fell. For the first time, even that last pillar kind of holding up the non-AI sector of the economy from growing, cracked. So this is a horrible jobs report. And, you know, despite not really being shocking based on what we've been saying in previous jobs reports videos, the overall media consensus is that this is a shockingly bad jobs report, especially for the first pass, because it likely will get revised down further from here, which means they're going to take a negative 88K number and make it worse. We're in uncharted territory. By the way, it also included revisions for those last jobs report we talked about. Both January and December got revised down. Okay? This overall was one of the worst job reports I've seen. And you can clearly see when you zoom out that we're seeing a massive, massive, massive deceleration in the labor market. We're in a spotty, bad area. From here, if it were to get worse, that's unemployment that is chaos levels across America.
Okay, can just chill for a sec. We're still at really high employment numbers. Now, getting north of 5% is starting to get bad for sure, but like chaos level is like 8-9%. What are we? Are we still under 5 for unemployment? 4.4% was the unemployment rate as of February 2026. To say chaos level is a little bit. Now, we're not creating many jobs, which is spooky for other reasons, but.
However, that's a tough challenge. Thankfully, though, that's the only major challenge facing the American economy right now. There's nothing else that could be an exogenous shock to cause anything to get worse. Thankfully, this is the only problem we have to worry about, because it would really suck if something else happened. If that happened, then we'd have to talk about oil, which is the second reason I'm sort of waking up to panickins. Second reason I'm talking about serious problems facing the American economy in 2026. Let's talk about oil. Now, a couple things we need to explain about oil before we move on. Oil is priced in barrels and sent around the world. And based on the price of a barrel of an oil, you could estimate certain things about how people in the economy will be feeling, because most economies run on oil. Almost all major economies run on oil right now. If the price of a barrel of oil is between $40 and $60, smiley face, people are
feeling... I thought they were accurately tracking job numbers. I don't know who's responsible for tracking the unemployment rate, but I'm pretty sure that's... The unemployment rate is a different thing from the jobs created, those jobs numbers. Those are different things.
Feeling good, okay? Gas is cheap. Fertilizer is cheap. Plastics are cheap. Things are feeling... It's a stimulant for the economy. People just feel better. Things move smoother. It's big smiles. If a price of a barrel of oil gets to, by the way, this is where we've been, this area, maybe around 60, 65, but this is the area we've been in for the past few months, and it's helped cushion the blow of
other- Okay, wait, I couldn't tell if this was memes or not. Are the gas prices, do they really shoot up like 10, 20% overnight or like 2 days? Uh-oh.
Other economic problems. If the price of a barrel of oil gets up to 70 or 80, that's a warning. Now, this is a really good spot for oil companies. They love this spot because people grumble about it. People are angry about it. Well, but it doesn't really cause too much political backlash, too much damage. And they get a lot of profit. Oil companies love this because nobody gets too mad at them, but they're still making money. So they prefer not to be here, but this is survivable. It's just annoying. If it gets to $100 or more, that is panic. That is when gas prices start to become really pinching for the average person, along with a whole bunch of other knock-on effects we'll get into. $100 more barrel is a panic. And if you don't like hearing it from me, because I'm an ugly streamer, and you want to hear it from a famous professional actor... All right, well, I got the show Landman for you.
Well, you want oil to live above 60, but below 90. And don't get me wrong, we're still printing money at 90, but gas gets up over 350 a gallon, it starts...
I feel like I saw one or two movies like this in the past 10 years. Can we have a movie or something that doesn't talk about, like, corporations or capitalists or governments as just, like, holy fucking evil? As just, like, completely and totally horribly fucking evil? Like, just some, like, small bit of nuance in any of the back and forths. I don't know what movie this is or what it is, but it sounds like this guy is talking to, like, the big bad capitalist. Maybe not, though, but I don't know. This show is pro-oil? Oh, is it? Okay.
Don't be wrong, we're still printing money at 90, but gas gets up over 350 a gallon, it starts to pinch. It hits 100, every product in America has to readjust its price.
So, what could possibly be happening that would cause us to be talking about crazy things, outlandish things, like $100 barrel oil? Well, it turns out this war in Iran has had some knock-on effects on the oil market. specifically regarding this little band of land called the Strait of Hormuz. We've talked about it before, but it is becoming very, very much in play. Now, this video will show you what has happened to tanker traffic, because I want you to understand, 20% of the world's oil goes from all of these countries into this Gulf, and then it gets on tankers, goes to this tiny little gap, and it goes out into the world. So much oil goes out here. This is tanker traffic in the past few days. Very, very active, slowing down, skirting the edges, and then basically non-existent. Then basically a crawl. The oil is no longer flowing, which is going to have many, many, many knock-on effects, okay? Now there's still, again, as the oil price rises, all the tankers stuck in here really have an incentive to try to get out. It's very profitable to get out, and being stuck here is also losing them a lot of money. So a few of them do try to run it. For example, this ship turned off its transponder at midnight and went for it to avoid getting struck. A few people are trying to do it. And because Iran has said they won't strike China has free passage. They said China is our ally and China can go through. However, Chinese ships are still not going through because they can't get insured. They're too.
How do you determine who the ship is owned by or whatever? I thought that was like a fairly complicated ordeal. Am I making this up, or couldn't you fly like three different flags depending on your mood? You have the people that own the ship, the place where the ship has some kind of original port or harbor, and then like where the ship last came from or something. Isn't there like some weird, like if I had a ship, like if I owned a company that owned a boat, but the boat was like made in France and that was their primary docking place or whatever, but like I was launching from Cuba, am I able to like have any three, like an American flag, a Cuban flag, or a French flag depending on my mood or whatever? Or am I play the scene? Wait, which scene? If ever Russia tries to hide its ships, other people's flags. Are you thinking of Lords of War? I haven't seen that movie before. I've just seen some of the Nick Cage clips from it, but no, that's illegal.
Too scared to do it because if they do get struck, it's billions and billions lost. They are all stuck in the strait. However, it hasn't stopped other less safety-minded tankers from pretending to be Chinese. Basically, 10 different vessels have declared themselves Chinese, changed their transponder, and made a run for it through the Gulf. The actual Chinese ships are again staying in the Gulf. No one, not even Beijing, is. The thing is, without the insurance markets functioning, no tanker will do it because the risk is so catastrophic. The amount of.
I wonder what the. How do you verify if a transponder is legitimate if you're another state? Like, you would just be, what is it called, squawking on some frequency? And then how do you know? I wonder if they have like unique registration numbers or something. I have no idea.
The money you lose is so gargantuan. But a few of them are going for as pretending to be Chinese. Again, this carrier.
It's so gross how pro-China Atriox Chat is. Wait, are they really? Is it like Hassan?
Hassan fan.
Holdovers?
Right here, which is named the Iron Maiden and is from.
If the Strait of Hormuz only accounts for 20% of traffic, why did the price of oil went up 55%? Ever since it started, just market speculation? No, they don't. They mostly meme about the American century of humiliation. I don't know 100% the answer to this, but I like, if you reduce the supply of a thing, that doesn't, the price could increase much more than that, right? Like, depending on the elasticity of the thing you're demanding and then what downstream products are relying on that thing. Let's say that I sold insulin for $10 a piece to 10 different people, but then the next day I only have 9 insulin to sell. It would be a 10% reduction in insulin. If I sold it at $10 each, maybe now you'd think, well, it was reduced by 10% of the supply, then that means that the price must go up by 10% to $11. Well, probably not, because you really don't want to be the guy who doesn't have insulin. So everybody now might be offering 15 or 20. You could reduce the supply by a small amount, and the price for it, I imagine, could climb quite a bit. I don't know if that would be the case here or not with the oil stuff, but.
From Japan, changed its name to China Owner. And made a break for it while hugging this side of the wall.
China Owner. Based.
And that is a real world thing that's happening now. That's the difference between generational wealth.
All the boat guys have to be like together. And they'd be like, guys, let's fucking go. We're going to fucking run it. And then all of them just go together.
Or being dead. It's pretty, pretty wild. Okay. So I made this slide a day or two ago. And Brent crude futures had hit.
You need to study elasticity more. Royal. What did I just say that was incorrect? Tell me. Go. This is your chance. Educate me. I wasn't saying you were wrong. Just saying that it's hard to use supply-demand modeling for such small quantities. And what you're describing is more the effect of elasticity of goods. But isn't that what I just said? Didn't I say that like a small supply drop in a thing might cause a much more dramatic price increase? Because if the elasticity of a particular thing is very low and people really need the thing, if there's not enough to go around, then the cost for that could spike quite dramatically. And then also depending on what downstream products are relying on it as well, it might be worth it to pay a little bit more. Let's say that oil is like 2% of your cost of goods or whatever for creating this final end product. You might be willing to pay two times as much on it because it doesn't affect your final price or whatever that much. Fuck you.
No, that's not what you said.
No, that is what I said, Mooten. Admit it.
That's what he said, Bing.
Thank you.
$93 a gallon. We were approaching the absolute danger zone. And at that time, gas prices nationwide were $3.32 nationwide, hitting highs of above near $5 here in freaking California. Again, above $3 when it's a psychological thing where Americans start feeling really frustrated. $3.50 becomes a real problem. However, if you were to update this 6 hours ago, it broke 100. If you were to update it 5 minutes ago, it's like at 115. It's spiking as we speak. We're getting into really, really dangerous situations. Every dollar that the oil barrel adds from here is compounding cost effects, basically widespread inflation on a lot of different things throughout the economy. Already, again, this is a day apart. Gas prices up 10 cents from yesterday. Now they're at 345. Probably by tomorrow, we could see 350 plus. These things for most.
Reserves will be sold and price toned down, but the entire shit will still rape economies and raise inflation worldwide. I feel like I looked up at one point, our strategic reserves are not really that deep, no? I thought that like our strategic reserves are like, if we need to go to war and we've got to run like our military shit, we can do that for a couple months. But I thought it was on the order of like days or something, or like a week or two in terms of how much our strategic reserves would last us if we had to run the entire country off of it or something. But I could be wrong. I don't know. Let me check. We have the largest publicly known emergency supply in the world. We have the capacity for 714 million barrels of oil. And then how many barrels of oil a day does US burn through? We consume roughly about 20 million barrels of petroleum products per day. God damn. So if this was full, we would last for like 25 days. If it was filled, I don't know where we're at right now. Who joined?
Medellin.
Okay, go. 2 minutes. What do you got?
You would last, it wouldn't be specifically comparable because you don't keep the same type of oil you need, but Canada would do the rest. The problem with the Saudi Hormuz Strait is that it specifically supplies Asia. So when you cut that off, they don't get any more oil. So then they have to buy from America and Europe, which basically shifts around the supplies. That's why it's really bad. As well as it just being 20% of the world's oil supply gone. You can't supply that with SPRs because the SPRs in the world, so America, stuff like that, only do around 6 million barrels if they're all coming out because you can only exfil so much every day.
Wait, are we
they
exporting our SPRs?
No. If they were going to, they wouldn't be able to replace the 20% stoppage because you can't just like release all that oil all at once. It literally takes time to get it out of the caverns, and you can only do a certain amount without destroying the SPR or damaging it.
Okay.
Also, you've got bad takes on the economy.
Good. I'm glad. I love them.
What? Just stop saying it's just AI bringing the economy up. It's so like wrong.
Okay, give me your 30-second spiel on that. My understanding is that the majority of the stock market right now is buoyed, and a lot of our job market is buoyed right now by healthcare and
that's
by
just not true.
AI crypto stuff or AI stuff.
Yeah, the AI stuff. The stock market doesn't matter. Like obviously, wealth effect has an important like to like spending, but the idea that AI is driving the economy is completely stupid. Like it did last year. If you most of the AI spending is being GDP going towards Taiwan and Korea because you're buying chips that the manufacturing is done inside Taiwan and Korea and China, and then it's being shipped to America and it's being put down. And the way that the BLS the way that the GDP is basically like calculated is that
it's
basically counted as new.
So when people are saying that most of our new like job creation and economic output,
that's wrong, completely wrong. That's completely wrong.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, the AI at least, the healthcare and stuff like that is true, but it's not like it's wrong to say that it's driving. Like the way you say it sounds like these are the only things keeping up. Like the economy will never be kept up by like two things, like maybe cyclical sectors like housing and stuff like that like are really affected by interest rates. You could say they drive things, but like a state like healthcare is just it just goes up, right? Or the other one you mentioned, the other job sector, I can't remember, but like AI? Those sectors aren't ever driving the economy. AI, yeah, the AI is never going to drive the economy in like a job sector like kind of way. Information tech is too small, it just won't ever do that, especially construction. The job is just going to go elsewhere. But yeah, so it has an importance, but it's not never driving it. Okay. And there's a lot of finicky stuff with the numbers around that as well.
Okay, I salute you. There you go.
Most, especially for Americans who have to drive everywhere because we have a car-focused society, or trucking-based delivery, have to buy diesel, become huge problems very quickly. Oil prices surge above $100 a barrel for the first time in 4 years. Now, the last time in recorded recent history where oil prices broke $100 a barrel was because of the Ukraine war. We're at Ukraine war levels, except we're at the very beginning and we don't have an off ramp. We don't even know where it's going. This is like looking back to the 1970s where we had oil price shocks and an economic slowdown that led to deep, deep stagflation. 70s were one of the worst economic years for there in the middle. So it's starting to get like real. What I'm saying is we've had this theme where it's like, hey, the numbers aren't accurately reflecting how things are degrading under the surface. But now it's like, hey, the degrading has gotten to the surface and we're throwing kerosene on the fire. Like, it's starting to get bad. I don't want...
Okay, we get it.